sing out a song of the soul.
Music has an incredible ability to proclaim the soul's language beyond what mere words can speak. That is what we seek as we invite our guests to share their song of the soul. Be it joy and laughter, sorrow and tears, awe and insight, or deepest devotion, as we visit and listen, we are all part of a spiritual voyage called Song of the Soul. For this week's Song of the Soul, I discovered a delightful musical side to a person I had already interviewed as an author. Doug Gwynn was our guest for Spirit in Action about his book, A Sustainable Life, back in 2015, but he joins us today to share from the music he's been creating and sharing for decades. Doug retired in 2018 from his work as a Quaker pastor, which freed him up to produce and remaster songs he's had for years. Doug grew out of the music of the 60s and 70s, but he's got a take all his own in his songs. Perhaps his best-known song is That of Odd in Everyone, a takeoff on the common Quaker expression, That of God in Everyone. Big thanks to Andrew Jansen for production assistance on this show. Doug Gwynn joins us via Zoom from Richmond, Indiana. Doug, so glad to have you here today for Song of the Soul.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be with you.
It occurs to me that back in 2015, when I interviewed you about your book, A Sustainable Life, I didn't ask you if you're a Douglas or a Doug, or if I say Douglas to you, does that mean like you feel called on the carpet that you've done something wrong?
It has on some occasions in my life, but the author is Douglas. The person that you talk to is Doug. So for whatever reason, that's how it works out.
And you're one of four Dougs or something? How does this go? I'm a little bit confused.
Well, I started recording my songs in 1999, and since I was singing all the parts and playing the instruments, I thought, well, I came up with the sort of the recording persona of the Brothers Doug. So that's four Dougs in one, or maybe more than four sometimes. But yeah, that's been a good outlet. And I finally created a website to put my songs, brothersdoug.me, which is a lot of stuff.
Do you have a diagnosis for these four personalities?
I have one CD collection I titled A Musical Personality Disorder. So,
has there been any struggle between your author identity and your musical identity? I mean, you get pretty deep theological and all this in your writings. You've been in the past a friend's pastor, which some people who know Quakers will think that's a contradiction. Some people know it's the norm in a lot of Quaker groups.
Both are true.
Yeah. But did you do music from the pulpit, so to speak?
Yeah. As the songwriting came along, I worked songs into messages in a meeting some of the time, which usually worked well. Didn't offend too many people.
It's clear to me that you're a gifted writer, and if people go to the website douglasgwynn.life, they'll find your publications, your books, and your pamphlets. And by the way, folks, a number of those pamphlets are downloadable. You can download a PDF of them. So you're a gifted writer. Have you ever been a poet?
No, I don't consider songwriting poetry. Some people do. I would call it versification. But writing in verse is not quite the same as there's overlap with poetry, I suppose, but no, I haven't felt a leading in that direction. Songwriting became an adequate outlet for me.
Well, let's get started right away with your music. I want to give people a taste of Douglas Gwynn, or no, excuse me, this is a song, you're Doug Gwynn. Got to get this right.
I want to say a little bit more about, I started songwriting in 1977. I had been listening to people like Bob Dylan and Bob Marley and the Wailers and Patti Smith. And I felt I heard in their music a kind of, there's definitely a theological streak there, but in a kind of a post-Christian way. And I began to find a way to write songs that was both seriously Christian, which I am, but also sort of in tension with a post-Christian outlook and culture, I suppose. So my main mode of doing that was irony, where my songs are often both serious and ironic at the same time, and you can't say it's one or the other, or more evidently serious, but with some ironic twist, like that of Odd and Everyone, coming at a subject from a different angle. And I just sort of followed it as it unfolded for me.
So let me just ask you what you consider to be Christian. There's a lot of people who proclaim themselves as Christian very clearly, strongly, and I think they think it's definitive. And I have, I think, moved away from calling myself Christian to calling myself a follower of Jesus, which I feel works better for me. Yet a lot of people say I don't follow Jesus either. So he's the way, the truth, and life, right? But what do you mean when you say the word Christian, or post-Christian for that matter?
Well, I guess after I felt that calling to ministry while I was still a sophomore at Indiana University, I started taking courses in the large religion department that IU had, kind of a groundbreaking religion department for a big state-sponsored university. And I really, you know, found that biblical courses really resonated for me in a way that they hadn't when I was growing up in Sunday school, for example. But also then later in seminary, I had an experience, a kind of a direct encounter with Jesus, that any ambiguities that were still in play at that point were taken care of. So I knew who I was working with at that point. So those are interventions of grace in my life that I am thankful for, but I'm in no position to judge anybody else for not having had those same experiences. People find their own paths, and I think grace is working in different idioms for different people. But it's been clear for me. But I also, because of my interest in popular music and coming of age in the 60s and afterwards, you know, the culture was definitely shifting out of Christendom and Christian churches as kind of normative in the culture to a more secularized situation, which I just intuitively began to work into some kind of a balance between those two, or a tension, let's say.
Part of my concern, again, is if I say that I'm a Christian, does that mean I'm like Jerry Falwell, right? You know, that a lot of people in our culture will take a name, a word, and they'll have a definition that they put to it. So it feels a little bit, I'm sure there's a number of Republicans who don't want to say they're Republicans right now because they may not associate with the current president that way. So words are tricky that way. They're supposed to help communicate, and they may in fact mislead people. So that's why I asked you the question, Doug. It wasn't, by the way, to put you on the spot at all. That's not what I wish to do with this program.
That's fine. I just needed to take a moment to figure out the best way to answer.
Yeah. But then we'll go back to my other question, is what song would you like to share now?
Let's start out with one that has seemed to strike a chord in more than one sense with friends, that of Odd and Everyone, which came to me sitting in meeting for worship at Pendle Hill one morning in early 2014, my last year as a resident teacher at Pendle Hill. And someone was speaking in worship saying, you know, people may seem odd to us, but we should listen to them because they may have something important for us to hear. And I thought, yes, that's true. But then there's that of Odd and Everyone. And I thought, oh, there's a song there. So it was one of those songs that just sort of wrote itself, basically. So it's been a fun song to sing. It really explores how that of God and Everyone and that of Odd and Everyone are sort of two sides of the same reality. That the oneness of God and the oneness of realized human personality resonate with each other. That's what God is trying to call us into.
For those who aren't Quaker, don't know much about Quakers, who are listening to this show, that of God and everyone is a really common Quaker phrase that we see and seek that of God and everyone. We try and lift it up. And there are a number of Quakers, particularly of the more liberal traditions like I'm part of, who they're more comfortable saying the light within than they are saying God within or whatever. So God is one of many words that might be used in that sentence, but God is the only one that rhymes with odd. And so that's very important. And I would also say that historically, Quakers have been known as a peculiar people. And I think that's more Quaker Oats box kind of Quakers that people are thinking of. But, you know, Quakers are peculiar because some people don't want anything to do with religion. And it's a question whether Quakers are religious then, because we don't have creeds. We don't have hierarchy in the way that churches do. There's a number of things that define religion to some people, which we don't fit. And so we're peculiar people that way. And I can tell you for sure that Doug Gwynne is a peculiar person. And this song is a wonderful illustration of it. In a lot of ways, I can see why. I don't know if this is your number one hit or anything, but I can see why it would appeal to so many. So let's go into the first song by Doug Gwynne. You'll find his website, brothersdoug.me, M-E. This song,
something
that
odd,
odd
about
in
everyone. It goes with being God's daughter or son. It's there in saints, outliers, and outlaws. It's in what's perfect, it's in what's broken, inarticulate or well-spoken. It's where our genius meets our tragic flaws. You may suffer from being odd, but it's your one and only way to God. There's that of odd in everyone I meet. A curse, or is it salvation, or just what comes with individuation? That of odd in every man and woman too. Oddliness and godliness can intertwine, 'cause odd like God means one of a kind. It's a gift to all, and not just a few. To be at odds with custom and fashion is one good way to learn compassion. You'll find that of odd in everyone you meet. Yeah, there's that of odd in everyone, so remember, it takes one to know one. There's more than 6 billion ways to be weird. Well, you may think that you can judge. Well, throw away that mental crutch. The truth is so much stranger than you. Jesus was a real oddity, and he promised, if you just follow me, you'll find that of odd in everyone you meet. By
the way, Doug, you're in Maine, right?
No, I retired in 2018 and returned to Richmond, Indiana, where I had been a pastor 7 years. And my father had died in 2015, and my mother was in her last stages of dementia. So I came back here to help support her through what turned out to be the last 11 months of her life. And I guess after bouncing around the Quaker world for many years, inertia finally took over, and I've stayed here.
Well, as a physics teacher, it's not inertia that took over, it's gravitational force. You're being led back to the center of your life. That's what it is. Which is also one of the things we learned from Doug Gwynne's song, that of odd in everyone. Again, the website where you're going to track down this music pretty well is brothersdoug.me, brothersdoug.me. And I guess a lot of non-Quaker people will have no idea that in a lot of ways, Indiana was a pretty significant center for Quaker populations of both programmed and unprogrammed. I'm part of an unprogrammed meeting. That's how I got to know Quakers. I had grown up Catholic. And there's the pastoral, the programmed friends have a special home in Indiana, also North Carolina and such. Doug, by the way, back in the 1980s, sometime I was traveling over in Pennsylvania, went to one of the Quaker colleges there, which has a Quaker collection at it. And I was able to look up my birth name, Judkins, and find out that there were, I could find like 14 people with the last name Judkins who had migrated from North Carolina over to Indiana and Iowa and Ohio, probably over the slavery issue in the 1800s, because Quakers were opposed to slavery and the local environment was so rife with slavery that they felt like they had to move. And I didn't trace any of those directly to me, but anyway, it was funny to watch the progression.
Yeah, that was a major migration out of the Carolinas mostly, and that's what led to the founding of Richmond and across Indiana and beyond.
You said you retired, it was around 2015. That's when I interviewed you about your book, A Sustainable Life.
2018 is actually when I definitely retired, but I was on the way out by 2015.
Well, I do want to get in all of your music, so let's go on to another song. What do you care to share next?
Yeah, let's move on to Melancholy.
Well, that's uplifting.
Surprisingly so, actually, the way the song turns out. I've had a melancholy streak in my life that I struggle with at times, but I also found over time that melancholy can be a creative force. The French poet Baudelaire said the challenge is to transmute melancholia into spleen, using the ancient humors theory, that spleen we associate mainly with anger, but can be also creative energy. I have found that to be true in my life. Besides it being something I experience personally, I think there are cultural affects that we experience individually, but are going on in the culture. And, you know, I wrote that early in 2024, the election year, which just seemed to get less and less encouraging. And so I think even though I've understood melancholy for some years, I think the cultural affects of discouragement were also bearing on my personal experience. So it's interesting, some of this will come in on some of the other songs as well, how political situations seem to have inspired very personal statements, but I know that they were inspired partly by what was going on in the culture or in the nation at the time. So melancholy has lines, melancholy, you seduce me, dressed in deeper shades, melancholy, you produce me, what is this you have made? So I'm sort of casting melancholy as almost a certain form of divine presence that is working on me and through me in my own creative process and taking me places I didn't expect to go. So that's one of the things that the song is trying to do.
So how would you qualify the significant differences between melancholy and depression?
Freud considered depression to be melancholy that is inadequately processed or unsuccessfully processed, let's say, not to blame the victim, but of course, there's clinical depression, which is another category that people have little or no ability to will themselves out of, although I'm talking beyond my understanding there. But melancholy can be turned through dealing as best we can with grief and loss. Freud said that melancholy or loss of love objects in our lives fall like shadows upon the ego, but the ego is formed out of those shadows, that we actually grow and become who we are through those losses and struggles through them. So depression may be a phase in that process, but it's possible to work your way through it for most people, I think. Again, I'm out of my league in terms of psychoanalysis. But I'm speaking partly more out of my own experience than expertise.
Well, I'm not sure, folks, that this song will lead you into melancholy. As a matter of fact, phrases like, good golly, melancholy, and I think they may help lift you a little bit and do exactly what Doug Gwynn was saying, that you produce me as well. That, in fact, this song may help lead your melancholy into something more productive. Let's go moving here with Doug Gwynn, Melancholy.
Melancholy, you seduce me with bitter sweet charms. Melancholy, you reduce me, I sink into your arms. I sink and I think of an endless abyss. You smile I stop fighting, just let myself fall. And now you're inviting me to live after all. Good golly, melancholy, I'm singing your song. Good golly, melancholy, you keep leading me along. Seduce me, dressed in deeper shades. Melancholy, you produce me. What is this you have made? Melancholy, a savior draped across my soul. Mask of the creator, the wounded made. Good golly, melancholy, I'm singing your song. Good golly, melancholy, keep leading me along. Mercy.
Got Doug Gwynn with us here today. I had him on my show back in 2015, my Spirit in Action program. I've got that link on northernspiritradio.org. You can follow links to both his writings, which are under douglasgwynn.life, but his music you'll particularly find centered on brothersdoug.me. And that was the song Melancholy. I hope, folks, that you enjoyed moving to that South American rhythm. I'm not sure what to qualify it as, a rumba or a tango. It's not a tango, but what were you working with there, Doug?
I have a rhythm machine, and it just had a category of some of the possibilities called Latin. So I've always been drawn to Latin rhythms and reggae and the more interesting, snaky types of rhythms. So yeah, that one seemed right somehow.
And again, you want to track down Doug Gwynn, I've got those links on northernspiritradio.org, along with all the links to my guests from the past 21 years. I've been doing both Song of the Soul, Spirit in Action, been syndicated since a couple years. And I started right here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, where I live. And Doug is over in Richmond, Indiana. And when I interviewed him last, he was in Maine, I believe. So we're trying to cover the country, and hopefully the 38 or so stations that carry our programs, that you're hearing us via the radio, or perhaps you're hearing us online, because we're obviously podcast as well, and you can get us right from our website, northernspiritradio.org. Whichever way you connect, we're glad to connect with you. We hope that you connect with us by posting comments, look around, suggest to us who we should be talking to next. You know, musicians I don't know, and I wouldn't have even have known about Doug Gwynn and his music had not Chuck Fager said, "Hey, you know that Doug does music too, don't you?" And he raised me out of my ignorance. And you can do that too, our listeners, by letting me know of wonderful musicians who I can share a song of the soul from. So please give us your messages. Maybe you connect us up with your local community radio station or other places that would like to broadcast our shows. Just reach out to me. You can find all my contact information on northernspiritradio.org. Back when I interviewed Doug in 2015, it was about his book, A Sustainable Life. Northern Spirit Radio and those community radio stations are only sustainable because you work together. So please do work with us with your hands, with your wallet. Help us be sustainable. We depend on you and not on corporations and not on government for funding. It's a conscious decision we've made because we want to serve you and not other strings attached type sources of energy and money. So please help us out via northernspiritradio.org. And let's go on to another song from Doug Gwynn. Where do we go next?
I thought we'd do The Future Perfect. I occasionally write a grammarian song, and The Future Perfect has always intrigued me as the most complicated tense, perhaps, like things will have gotten better by the time such and such happens. That will have gotten or will have made or, you know, will have been is an interesting construction, but it's also playing with the idea of a perfect future. So it's sort of taking my utopian impulse and playing with it a little bit that I'm sort of, you know, oh, everything's going to, will have been changed and perfect in the future, perfect. Of course, that's, you know, fantasy, imagination. But imagination, I think, is important, even though it can be off base or self-serving, I suppose. But I think the human act of imagination opens up the mental space for the spirit to show us possibilities that we might not have been open to hearing if we hadn't been thinking bigger. And not just dealing with things as they are. So The Future Perfect is about that. And I even managed to draw in at the end, you'll notice a line from John Lennon's Imagine, "You may think I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one." So that's what this song is about.
Wait, did he quote you for that line or was that you quoting him?
He didn't check with me. I can say that.
I want to say this song is not very melancholic. That was our previous song. This has a more upbeat direction to it in believing that there can be a perfect future. A lot of people are not feeling that right now. What are you feeling?
Yeah, having a hard time trudging through daily doses of more bad news from the Trump administration. And I've got a little bit more on that coming up, but I guess I keep trying to find where the hope is. The next song we do will hopefully be a basis for where my hope comes from.
Well, let's do a stretch right now towards that better world. This song is In the Future Perfect by Doug Gwynn.
Everything will have worked out for the best. Old grudges will have been forgotten, or at least given a rest. In the future perfect, love will have melted all our hearts of stone. We will have fallen in love with each other and not with our phones. In the future perfect, in the future perfect, the future is perfect now. Because the future perfect will no longer have been a complicated tense. It will have become a matter of simple common sense. Oh, if I had a grammar, I'd hammer out that old subjunctive mood. I will have stammered my way into the future perfect for good. In the future perfect, in the future perfect, the future is perfect now. Well, maybe none of this will have proved to be the case. I've always been an incurable utopian. Ever since I went sailing down the fallopian to meet my parents face to face. Oh, the future perfect will have been on earth as it is in heaven. It will have been like meeting the Lord at the 7-Eleven. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. The future perfect comes to everything under the sun. In the future perfect, in the future perfect, the future is perfect now. Yes, the future is perfect now.
I'm hoping that you listeners for Song of the Soul have felt summoned into the future perfect by that song by Doug Gwynn in the future perfect. Again, his website that you'll find his music via is brothersdoug.me. You'll find his books, his literature, other writings at douglasgwynn.life. Links are on northernspiritradio.org. That was In the Future Perfect. And by the way, Doug, when I was getting ready to go on the Peace Corps, I had 2 months of training, including especially a lot of language that was held in Vermont. And as I was getting up to speed in French so I could teach in lycée in Togo in West Africa, it occurred to me that we use the word have to make conjugations of past, future, all these tenses that we do. And as I was learning the French like that, it occurred to me that I could make a phrase in English that would have a lot of different uses of have and has and so on that would be totally confusing. Here we are. Are you ready for the big phrase that I asked him to translate into French? Envision a guy who got swindled and he got stuck with the incriminating evidence. He would have had to have been had in order to have had it. It's a great stretcher for the mind in terms of translation. Anyway, in the future, perfect. It's good to have a vision towards which we can go. Do you consider yourself an optimist, pessimist, anything?
I'm probably a pessimist, being melancholic, but I'm hopeful. I see a difference, you know, between hope and optimism. So faith has to, as Paul says in Romans, I guess, we hope in what is not seen. Otherwise, it's not hope. So you have to hope beyond what you can see.
Well, do you also believe in being perfect as our Father in heaven's perfect? Or how do you think about that?
Well, the Greek teleos there is probably better translated complete, fulfilled, mature, rather than our usual ideas of perfect as a sort of a checklist of all the things that we got right. So that, yeah, I'm growing into greater maturity and fulfillment as best I can. So I'm working on it and God's working with me.
Well, why don't we reach towards perfection by sharing another of your songs?
Yeah, this next one is called These United States of Grace. I wrote this one in April of 2017, so early in Trump's first term. And I guess you could call it an anarchist anthem, because anarchism, as in the best and what I would say the right sense of the word, not bomb throwers or people just acting out against authority, but people who understand that society is really always being enacted and repaired and grown and innovated at the grassroots. And that for me, that there's a role of the Spirit leading us into that action. So that whether you see it as spiritual or not, whatever is going on the level of government has its strengths and weaknesses and good and bad motives. But there's people acting in good faith singly and together that keeps reweaving the fabric of society. So these United States of Grace is the ways in which we unite around our own states of grace, coming from every faith and place and race, as the song begins. We may not completely understand each other, but we can cooperate and embrace and do good things together. And I think when we're under threat and actual corruption and increasing oppression by a government like the Trump regime, it's really important to remember that we're still at work at the grassroots. I mean, it can come together in overt actions and nodes of resistance like happened in Los Angeles and Minneapolis last year. But it's always going on a much more pervasive level. And that's what really holds and builds society all the time.
I do like to reframe things myself from essentially negative outlooks to a more possible positive outlook. I think of the bumper sticker. There's a bumper sticker used to be popular. It has a word that starts with SH, which means defecation happens.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer the version that I've seen also. It says compost happens. You can look at it both ways, and they both have validity. But one produces some energy to have the world move forward.
Yeah.
So I look at this song, The United States of Grace, in that way. So let's let Doug Gwynn do his magic and share with us the United States of Grace.
Everywhere who give themselves to loving care. They come from every faith and place and race. There are those of us who dare pledge allegiance free and fair to these United States of Grace. We owe nothing but our love to authorities who stand above and order us to march in time and place. The spirit blows and so we go in patterns even we don't know in these United States of Grace. We're dead to power's charms. We answer not its call to arms. We seek the grace in every human face. And together the shape we're in reveals the only sovereign of these United States of Grace. In a stranger on the street or in a manger, the point is not to grasp but to embrace. So lend a hand and make a friend. There's nothing here to defend in these United States of Grace. Our differences will not divide as long as we don't run and hide, but let our lives entwine and interlace. And the fabric of society is stitched again quietly by these United States of Grace. Oh, these United States of Grace.
These United States of Grace is by Doug Gwynn. Again, track down his music on brothersdoug.me. And I didn't actually ask you, Doug, do you have brothers, by the way? I don't even know.
I have an older brother, but he's Mike, not Doug.
Okay. Well, the United States of Grace is where we're hoping to be, where we're trying to call ourselves to be, because that's the thing that energizes us to get the vision. I think some people stare, when you were talking about anarchists and so on, there is the vision of the bomb-throwing anarchist. And I think those are people who stare at the defecation and just get absorbed with the idea of defecation, as opposed to those of us who look at and see its potential being transmuted into the thing that grows in our garden the next year.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, I'm afraid we're going to run out of time. If we do run out of time, just keep in mind, listeners, that this Song of the Soul, there's two versions of it. One is the version which goes for broadcast, which is always 55 minutes. And on our website, northernspiritradio.org, you can sometimes find extended versions in our podcast version. So in order to get in as much as possible, let's go to another song. What do you got next?
Yeah, I thought we would move on to George Floyd in Gaza.
Oh, wow. I really picked the right one to make that comment about. Look up.
May 2025. It's part of a collection of songs about the first 100 days of the Trump second administration. That collection is on the website, Tales from the Grift, the first 100 days. And this comes near the end of that collection and just tries to express that horror at those two events, the police murder of George Floyd and the Israeli bombing of and practically annihilation of Gaza, and how helpless both scenes have felt. So the song, looking at videos from the George Floyd murder, you know, people looking on helplessly, the police are totally in charge. And then the IDF, abetted by the Trump administration, doing its worst, you know, in Gaza. So it just sort of feels its way through those two and feels the relation between the two events in terms of the nations and Israelis, Jews, Americans, Arabs, all feeling the horror of it. But who can stop it? Haaretz is a phrase that I use. It's Hebrew for people of the land, which is a little edgy to use since in Judaism it's understood as the Jewish people. But I've been long convinced of the work of Norman Gottwald and George Mendenhall, that the Israelite takeover of Canaan was much less a matter of violence than conversion of Canaanites to becoming Israelites and part of something a lot more egalitarian than what they had under the Canaanite city-states, and that there was a whole orbit of marginalized indigenous Canaanite tribes that joined the Israelite covenant, and that the Gazans, you know, and other Palestinians are long-term descendants of those peoples who either joined the covenant or were sojourners in the land that the laws of Moses made sure to, you know, make room for. So the Zionist cabal that has taken over in Israel is way out of line with anything that the laws of Moses should be providing for.
The song is George Floyd in Gaza.
I see the policeman's knee on George Floyd's neck, squeezing the life out of a man. I see a circle of people, they're looking on. They want to help, but who can? I see the IDF bomb and starve the people of Gaza, squeezing the people of the land. I see a circle of nations, they're looking on. They want to help, but who can? They want to help, killed and BB in power, still out of prison. Masters acting out a master plan, each with his power, each in his way, squeezing the people of the land. Harris, people of the land, the people of every land understand. People of every land understand.
Doug Gwynn's song for Song of the Soul, George Floyd in Gaza. I would say, Doug, I'm not quite sure the meaning. I'm not sure what the lowest note that you can sing is, but I figure it might be on the word can, as in, but who can? And my question when I heard that go deep, was that as in a final ending, a depression, a, oh no, ominous tone, or was it something else for you?
I guess it's like transcend. No, we can't transcend, you know, or can we? It's meant to be sort of 90%. No, we can't, but maybe 10%. Maybe we can, you know, maybe, or someone can, you know, it's not necessarily impossible. It's just very, very discouraging. I guess that's, both songs are doing something like that.
Let's go on to one more song. Okay.
Yeah. I'd finish with An Epiphany Waiting to Happen, a song I wrote back in 2011. Not sure what has anything to do with what was going on in the country at the time, but just sort of various ways of describing how life could go wrong for you, and yet God is waiting to take hold of the situation with you and help. So it's like, it's kind of humorous descriptions of various ways that life can come to dead ends or disaster. But then at the end of each verse, you know, well, you might just come around sometime and see me, my friend. Turn around and see me. And then at the end, it says, I'm right here, you know, right behind you in that mirror. You know, it's like God is both behind and beyond us as we see ourselves. And that again, it's a call to transcendence, I suppose, that certainly has been what has made a difference in my life in many different disasters and dead ends that God opened a way. So it's an epiphany waiting to happen. Not necessarily that I turned and saw in a visual sense, but God showed up in the more substantive way that I could understand and get some next steps.
And what's the relationship to Queen Jane approximately?
Yeah, I was listening to that song, one of Bob Dylan's songs on Highway 61 Revisited, 1965. Just sort of spun off in a different direction, but the same sort of, you know, when such and such and such and such happens, you know, come see me, Queen Jane. That album to me is the very peak of his many great albums. What he saw happening in the culture earlier than most anybody else in 1965, he manages to articulate. Again, I feel that there are sort of affects moving around in the culture that we are, as individuals, we are kind of registering instruments for what's happening. And he had a particular gift in that time in his life to register and articulate that in such a powerful way. So it's an album that begins with Like a Rolling Stone and ends with Desolation Row. And I think in various ways, the different songs on the album get at what I would, in retrospect, see as the shift from modernity to post-modernity and sort of a different sense of modernity that was much more clear by the end of the 60s than it was in 1965, but he was picking it up. I would call that apocalyptic in the sense of seeing an experience that sees the future in a way that's related to the present.
What's the word for epiphany that's parallel to apocalyptic? Epiphanictic? I'm not sure what the word is. Epiphany waiting to happen, right?
Yeah.
So I want to appreciate how much you bringing your music here means to me. Again, your writings have been so wonderful, so inspirational, so depth-seeking. And so it's great to find out that you've got this musical side of you as well. And I'm so much appreciate that you brought that here today.
Well, thanks, Mark. I really appreciate the invitation, and it's been a good conversation. Thank you.
Again, websites, you'll find him on NordenspiritRadio.org for his music, brothersdoug.me, and his other writings, including a little note to his music, at douglasgwyn.life. Gwyn, by the way, is G-W-Y-N. Questions, NordenspiritRadio.org. We go out with one last song by Doug. It's an epiphany waiting to happen. You'll find that epiphany when you come back next week for Song of the
when
Soul.
Here is an epiphany waiting to happen. Value comes with a dollar sign, and you find your soul in brackets or quotation marks. When your life in all of its range turns to equivalence and exchange, and those unanswered questions circle you like sharks. When that swarm of electrons buzzes around your head, and slave to the system.org is your career. Well, some will sit around and boast, but resistance is futile for most. Locked up in a cell you hold up to your ear. Well, you just might come around sometime and see me, my friend. Turn around and see me. When the one you love has traded you in for an upgrade, and you've got tire tracks up your back from bottom to top, when the world and all that it seems is coming apart at the seams, and the question arises, oh, where does it stop? Before the tragedy of whatever that was you meant to be gives way at last to centrifugal force, and the balance finally tips on your blithering apocalypse, and your life is a sentence not even you can arts. Well, you just might come around sometime and see me, my friend. Turn around and see me. Just beyond your worst fear. Turn around and see me. I'm here, right behind you in that mirror. Turn around and see me.
The theme music for Song of the Soul is by Chris Williamson, and it is called Song of the Soul. Check out all things Song of the Soul on northernspiritradio.org, guests, links, stations, and a place for your feedback, suggestions, and support. Send your Songs of the Soul to me, Mark Helpsmeet, via the info on our website, and join us weekly for Song of the Soul.